So today we're going to discuss which type of dayanim, what type of bezdin is required for the chalitza. So the Gemara already tells us that based on the Mishnah, shlosha dayanim vafilu shloshin hediotos, three people. That's the number you need. You know, the different types of bati dinim with the first Mishnah, Sanhedrin talks about sometimes you need three, sometimes you need 23, sometimes you need five. Different situations where you need a different number of dayanim. And then in terms of the quality, the level of the dayanim, afil hediotos, even just a regular, dayan would suffice as well. And the Gemara goes based on some psukim, darshin psukim, it says zakenim. We'll discuss a little bit tomorrow about ein bezdin shakel, which is a concept of there can't be an even bezdin, you always have to have an odd number. But today we're going to focus on hediotos, a regular person, what's a hediot? So the term hediot in general, when it comes up in Shas, it could sometimes mean just a regular person, a kohen gadol versus a kohen hediot. Kohen Hedot is a very meaningful person. He could be a big Talmud Chacham, which is not the Kohen Gadol. It's right below a Kohen Gadol. Sometimes you could have, the Yushalmi says, anyone who performs a mitzvah, he's not chayiv, is a Nikra Hedyot. It's a Ramah about sleeping or eating in the Sukkah when it's raining out. He's called the Hedyot. Hedyot there sounds like he's an idiot. He's like, Mamish doesn't know anything. And, the Hasidim would say back that, no, it means that you'd rather be a Hedyot than not perform mitzvahs. It's okay to be a Hedyot. That's not a big deal. So the word hediot means different things in different contexts. So that's just as a way of background. So what does hediot mean here in the Gemara? That shlosh hediotos work. So Tosos tells us, very simple, hediot means that he's able to shlosh sheyodim li karos, like the Gemara says, like a dayan. A dayan knows how to read. A hediot, all you need, the only qualification is to pass the reading test, right? Yeah, that's all you have to know. If you, you're taking, some jobs, all you have to do for the job is to be able to read. You pass a reading test, that's it. You are a dayan, nothing more than that. Aval b'shar devar, other halachas. Ein tzarech shubikin ben. You have to be an expert in the other areas of chalitza, what type of shoe to use, and watching the spit, which we're going to discuss next week, how the dayan have to watch the spit, and what shear of the saliva has to come out. And you don't need to know this. All you have to do is know how to read. Shar devar, ein tzarech shubikin ben. V'chilo asatov, if you didn't do the right thing, you chalishol bikin, ask an expert. Right, I mentioned to a couple of you asked me this question, how to understand this Tosfos. So, most rabbis these days, guys my age and younger, and perhaps older, we have smicha. What does smicha mean? Smicha is, between me and you, it's meaningless. What is it? So I took a couple of tests that I got a good score on. I didn't know Hilchos Shabbos or Hilchos whatever I was learning, but I was familiar with it. So if a guy asked me a shaila, okay, I could call up a real post that can ask the question. So the dayan is just simply a guy to, Wymer is too busy, so he'll send me to go to represent him. But, I'm just a nobody. So the dayan shows up to chalitza, you're a nobody, you just read, that's all read. And these shilas call me up. That's all you have to be able to do, call up the rabbi if you have any shilas. But with respect to kriya, this is where it's hard to understand Tosos, about kriya, im lo yadu li karos, if you don't know how to read, lo yuchul li shal bikin im hikar yafa, you can't ask if I read well. Again, I don't know what that means exactly, but Tosfos clearly is just pushing the idea that you don't have to have any quality other than knowing how to read. That's the only ability, read, and that's it. So how do you ask a question on Kriya? It's hard to ask a question. Did I read it right? Let me reread it in front of the dayan. It's just not an easy transition. Just learn how to read, and then any other shaila, ask me a question. That's what Tosfos says. Yeah. That's not a qualification. Seeing, everyone can see. A summa can't see. A summa is disqualified. But in terms of seeing, the only qualification is the ability to see. But
it sounds like Tosfos is not saying the summa is disqualified.
Say it again?
It sounds like Tosfos isn't saying that the summa is disqualified. Like that's not one of the qualifications.
Well, right now, he's not talking about that element. It's going to come up later on. The Gemara itself is going to address it. Here, it's in terms of skill set. Seeing is not a skill set. That's everybody, if you could see, it's just part of human being. But in terms of outside of that, the kriya is all you need according to Tosfos. Now, the Aruch HaNer, why do you have to be able to read? Because the Torah, the Gemara tells you have to be able to read. And this Aruch HaNer tells us there's an Indian to read on behalf of the individual, behalf of the woman who's performing the chalitza. It's a very interesting drasha, he says. When it comes to Bikurim, Bikurim is the first fruits of which types of fruits? Anyone know? Shivas Aminim, right? Shivas Aminim, you live in Eretz Yisrael, you have Shivas Aminim, Chita, Sarah, and so forth. The first fruit of that season, you tie a little red string, the Mishnah says. And then when they ripen, after that point, you just put a little red string so you know which came first. And then a couple weeks later, or however long it takes, they're ripe, you take them to the Kohen, each in Yerushalayim. Now when you bring it to the Kohen, there's something called an Amira. You have to do a Kriyas Mikra Bikurim. It's called Mikra Bikurim. It's a whole recitation of a Psukim in Parshas Kisav. It says, Va'anisa Va'amarta. You have to say the words. And now the Yerushalmi, there's a din that the Yerushalmi says that the Kohen, or someone else says it. Why can I say it? I know how to read. Because not everyone, not every farmer knows how to read. I'm here. It's just like a Bal Kore. No one gets called up for the Aliyah to read, because many people don't know how to lay. So they have a Bal Kore designated to read on behalf of everyone else. So for Mikra Bikurim, same thing. You read on behalf of the farmer. Even though the Pasuk says, Va'anisa, you should read the farmer, we read on behalf of the farmer. So too says Aruch HaNer, here as well, it says, Va'ansa V'amra. The word of Va'ansa, same Lashon Va'anisa, that the woman should recite the words, but the drasha is that someone should recite for her, Likaros La Mipi Acherim, that others, the Dayanim, should be able to read, and that's through the Dayanim. That's the understanding. That's a Esmachta, says the Aruch HaNer, why there's an Indian of Kriya, but everything else, throw it out the window. We don't need any other qualification outside of the ability to read. So that's Aruch HaNer and Tosos in one corner. Now, the Ritva takes issue with the Tosos, and he makes a dig from Rashi. You guys had a chance to appreciate the dig from Rashi? What was the dig from Rashi? I'm sorry, it's a dig. It's maybe obvious in Rashi, but Rashi says, Afilu shloshtan behediotos, she'enon either misan hedrik ta'iran or misan hedrin stam, the Girs and the Bach, Mesoras HaShas, that the Indian is that what it means to be a hediot is not to be the Sanhedrin, not to be the Kohen Gadol, but a Kohen hediot. A dying hediot doesn't mean you're an idiot. It means you're just not the top, you're not tier one, you're tier two. But it's still, the qualifications are necessary. So the Ritva makes his diak from Rashi, and he says, V'yesh lomar, d'cheven d'chalitza davar shebe'erva. Chalitza davar shebe'erva. Anything related to erva, allowing a woman to now get married to someone else, undoing the zika from her for Yavam, now she's disconnected from the bran-law, now she could get married, that's davar shebe'erva. Marriage, kedushin, nesuin, gerushin, chalitza, all this is bichlal davar shebe'erva. And even though it's in a category, it's in Chelek Evan Ha'ezer, which is all about Gittin, Kedushin, Ksubis, Chalitza. It's in that same category, Davar Shebe'erva. Nonetheless, we're makel with respect to Chalitza. How we makel by Chalitza more so than by Gittin and Kedushin? What's the kula? He's about to say in the Ritva. What's the kula we have by Chalitza? No one knows. If there's a court case, if there's a bezin with respect to gittin and kedushin, you need smuchim. People with smicha, you need mumchen, you need experts. We don't need such levels of smuchim when it comes to chalitza. That's a kula. And once there's that kula, that chalitza already, you don't need smuchim. So maybe the Ritva says maybe we should go one step lower even. Maybe. Even as a kainim koldu, any old man, you can pull up an 80-year-old and be a dayan on a bezin chalitza. Just be able to read and that's it. Have some glasses and read. Zehu. Like Rav Shechter, he says when it comes to going to Din Torah, case of a Choshe Mishpah case. So there's unfortunately a lot of terrible things that happen in Bate Dinim. Not so yasher. It's bribery and real Bate Dinim these happen. He said the best thing to do, go to a base medrash and look for the top three guys in the base medrash, get them together, and then they'll be your dayanim. They're not in it for money. They're sitting in the base medrash. They're not looking for publicity, not looking for money. They just want to learn and teach. So get three smart guys, and they'll be the bati dinim. So here, the Ritva says, get three old men, go to the nursing home, go down the block, and say, okay, we need three guys who can read. They, at this point, and if they're there, probably they don't have maybe the greatest faculties together, but still, get three old men. Three old men and have them be the dayan. Vafilu ziknei shuk. Call them out from walking in the shuk. Just come. We need three guys. The gariat fei mehediot. It's even worse than a hediot. Hediot, he's not even calling an idiot. He's calling a hediot is like somewhere a little bit more. But just an old man walking on a cane in the street. Pull him over. He'll be your dayan. Kamash malan No, we call them hediotas. We don't need smuchim. We don't need the best. But we do need a high-level qualification. What qualification do we need? Tzarech sheyedu halachos hilchos chalitza ad sheyedu likaros kiseder ke'ein dayanim. We're talking one of the chavrusas before about this. I think I was right, but I'm not sure now. I think it was correct. What it means is, when the Gemara says likaros, it means the ability to be well-versed in all of Hilchos Chalitza. To know the simanim of Chalitza and Shulchan Aruch, to know it well, to be able to read it, not just to recite the words of Psukim, but to read and to understand, be Yodea Sefer of Hilchos Chalitza. That's a qualification. I'll get to in one second. And that's what's needed until your Keseder, you can read, Sheyadu Likaris Keseder Ke'en Dayanim, to be like Mamashika Dayan. You're just not the Dayan of Sanhedrin. You're not the Dayan of Sanhedrin Kitana. But you're still a guy who's a Talmud Chacham in the Bezdin, here in the Beis Medrash, yeah.
No, I was
going to
ask if it's like Lashon like Makir, but that's the difference.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So his understanding is that you need smuchin for bati dinim for gittin. Now, even though we don't have smuchin bizman hazeh, we have no choice. We have to do it anyways. In an ideal situation, smuchin is necessary for gittin, but not necessary for a chalitza. Oh, there's no drasha. There's no drasha when it comes to Yibum Chalita that you need smuchin.
But, I mean, I would say it's not
what
is
king.
It's not like, I would think that's
moon. Right, the Gemara Darshan, otherwise, the Gemara thinks that's...
Is that
I'm not sure. I don't know. I have to look back at the sugars of Gittin. I don't remember. Yeah, Sammy. Yeah, likaros kein, those words, likaros kein dayanim, does that mean just to be able to read, or does it mean to be yodea sefer, to know a hilchos chalitza like the dayanim? But now let's dig a little deeper, though. What is the machlokas here between Tosfos and the Ritva? What's driving Tosfos and the Ritva to say the qualifications necessary to be a dayan? Again, Tosfos says, no qualifications, just read. And according to the Ritva, it's you have to know the halachas. And I think the answer is that Tosfos thinks that what's the function of Bezdin? The Torah already implies, the Kainim, you need to have a Bezdin. The function is that it's what's called Lekim HaDavar, that in order to have a Chalitza work, you need a Bezdin to make it happen. Bezdin's not there, a Chalitza doesn't work. It's brother-in-law and sister-in-law there doing Chalitza, it doesn't work. Bezdin needs, they create the reality of Chalitza being significant. If Bezdin's not there, it's worthless. And therefore, you just need three people who know how to read. Three people could be a bezin. Hatar Sadarm. I assume you all did Hatar Sadarm this year. Did you look for any Baki and Hilchas Sadarm? Very little out there. Probably not. You just need a bezin. You need a bezin, two people. Say, okay, machalach, and you're free to go. That's all you need. Well, I don't need a guy who's a Hilchas Sadarm. I need a specialist. Don't I need a specialist to know what's going on here? He doesn't know that my neder I want to undo is going to... So to make something, establish something, to fulfill something, you just need three regular people. That's really a bezdin. Now, I can't get involved in too much halachas of bezdin. That's Sanhedrin sugyas. But what's driving the Ritva to know more than that, though? What do you think? Why the Ritva thinks you need more than just being a regular hediot? Yes.
Dine erva.
Okay, so that could be a good point. That he, I guess, seems to indicate that just like by kedushin and gittin, you need smuchim. So there's just one rung below that. So it could be, yeah, that's a very good suggestion. I was going to say something else, but I think it's very good. So I think another suggestion, which I think I was kind of tipped off by Rabbeinu Avraham Nahar and Shmuel Sadeshin, is that you need someone who knows how to answer questions on the spot. You need someone who's available to ask questions. You know, sometimes there are things that are urgent, like, so Tosfos is getting around the problem, you could always ask a question to the rabbi, right? The guy doesn't know anything, you ask a shayla. The Ritva felt that this is, you know, essential, that the people present know what the questions and answers are. Could you guys be a Masada Kedushin? Let's say a guy asks you to be a Masada Kedushin, what would you say? No, why not? No, you do. You have no idea what you're doing. You have no idea. Now, do you need a Masada Kedushin? Not really. You don't need one. you could have two Edim and watch them get married. I have a case. I know a case. Don't give any details, but someone's daughter got married to a man, and there was no Mishnah Kedushin. There were two Edim, and they set everything up, and then like in a hotel room, and want to know whether that's a good marriage. So if the two Edim were kosher, and you know the father couldn't say anything to the kids, it was a sticky situation. So he wanted to know from me if it was okay. I said, I don't really know the details, but if the two Edim were kosher, it's really fine. So what's the point of Masada Kedushin if all you really needed two Edim? Things come up. The Shilas come up. I was once a Ed Ksuba at someone's wedding, and Rav Kellmer from Young Israel West Hempstead, massive Talmud Chacham, massive Tzaddik. So he was the Masada Kedushin. And so I signed my name, and then someone was reading the Ksuba, the rabbi was reading Ksuba under the chuppah, and then someone noticed that when they're reading the Kala's name, she was a Bas Kohen, in one of the insertions they forgot to write HaKohen. So you fix it. Now, I've been Masada Kedushin before. I would have no idea how to fix that, to be honest. I would have to just like, you know, tear it up and make a new Ksuba. Right? Kellmer, who's, again, a master, you don't need to be a Talmud Chacham to know what to do. I just didn't know. But he is a Talmud Chacham. But he, you know, took us afterwards, after the chuppah, he took me and the other eight ksuba, went to the yichud room, and we fixed the ksuba. He made like an asterisk of some sort, did something here, something there, and that was Zehu, and that was it. We like signed their names, and it was all good from there. But these are things that are on the spot. You have to know what you're doing. There's this importance of, you know, knowing the halachas of chalitza. So Ritva is saying, I'm not arguing. I know you need a bezdin to make the chalitza a good chalitza. But the qualifications is either because, like Sammy said, you need qualifications, like Gittin Kedushin. That makes it, or maybe you really don't need qualifications. It's just as a preventative matter, lest something like that comes up. I shiloh this past week, not really a shiloh, but there was a guy, Rahmanullah's son, who's watching his cousin's wedding on Zoom. And he texts me, is it a problem if a woman rabbi is Masada Kedushin, or Masaderis or Kedushin, whatever you call her? I said, technically not, as long as the Edim are good. I said, well, the Edim are girls. I'm not sure the Edim are good. But you need someone who's qualified and knows what they're doing. This lady wasn't good either. So these things come up. So maybe that's what's driving the Ritva, why you need some experience, some knowledge, some background before performing Chalitza. So if you take a look here in number 3, Rabbeinu Avraham Minahar, one of the Rishonim, he writes that, let's just take it two lines down in the Rabbeinu Avraham Minahar, the end of the line where it says, V'lo amar rabbanan sheyakuf likaros el lemitzvah, v'lo la'akev. There's no requirement to read. It's a mitzvah, but it's not la'akev. D'lo ba'inan el sheyodim likaros lehem apsukim. They have to just know how to read, but they don't have to actually read. V'ika demandam, or others say, they need to know all the halachas. And he invokes that Gemara in Kedushin. A person who does not know halachas of Gittin Kedushin should not be involved in Siddur Kedushin, not be involved in a Siddur Get. He should stay far away. So the question is 2 days, again, same day as we saw before, of how much knowledge, how much of Hilchas Chalitza does a Dai need to know. I just like this Rabbeinu Avraham Minahar because he kind of connected it to the Masada Kedushin piece. Masada Kedushin should be a person who's only knowledgeable in the area of Kedushin and Gittin. Okay, so the Chumash Hadeshin was of the opinion that you do not need a baki in Hilchas Chalitza to be Masada Chalitza. If you want to learn Masada Siddur Chalitza, you take a look in Shulchan Aruch Simen Kuf Samech Tes. That's Hilchas Chalitza. It's in Ebenezer. And at the end, right afterwards, there's something called Seder Chalitza. It tells you step by step what to do. We'll learn some of the halachas together. So the Chumash Hadeshin was asked a very interesting shaila. Now you know the Chumash Hadeshin, it was understood that he wrote the shailas to himself. He raised his own question. There wasn't shailas and shuvas that someone was sending in. He was writing back. He raised his own shailas. And he wrote a total of 359 shailas, which is the Gemach of Hadeshin. That's why he called it Chumash Hadeshin. He has 359 shuvas. So he adds in the shuva here, are you allowed to do chalitza erev Shabbos or not? Now, I don't know if you saw his shuva yet. Why would you think not? What's wrong with the? I know maybe you shouldn't have certain meals erev Shabbos, the Mishnah says, and certain types of business you shouldn't do. What's wrong with doing chalitza on erev Shabbos? So he says that maybe the reason is because you're tar b'tarchei Shabbos, you're busy preparing for Shabbos, and you're going to be rushed and you're not going to have time to be so makbid on the halachas of chalitza, you might make a mistake. And we have certain things that we shouldn't be doing on Erev Shabbos because of the tirda. You know, there's a Gemara in Ervin, which says Eliyahu Navi cannot come on Erev Shabbos. Okay, Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov, why not? Because the Klal Yisrael is busy tarid in Hilchas Shabbos. We're busy tarid in preparing for Shabbos. So for us to like stop our chillin' and stop our kugel and Eliyahu come and start packing the bag, he's going to share Shabbos. So we have to have certain focus on Hachana the Shabbos. So therefore, Eliyahu Navi won't come on Erev Shabbos. So too, he said, maybe we shouldn't do Chalitza Erev Shabbos. We're busy tarid. It's going to get in the way of our meals. It's going to get in the way of the Chalitza being done properly. So Shmuel Hadashin says, okay, it's a very nice svar. He's not so convinced by this svar, though, he says. You know, he says, I want a proof. Give me a proof. Give me some proof. There's svara and there's proofs. What's the proof? So he says that we have a concept that kol she'eino yodea b'tiv gittim kedushin lahave esek imlahim. If you don't know hilchos kedushin, you don't know hilchos gittim, don't be mesara kedushin. But no one says that by chalitza. There's no gemara that says that at all. The gemara at best says hadyotos, doesn't say you have to know hilchos chalitza. So he says you don't need to know it actually. So he assumes there's no need to know. He holds like the Tosfos. So Lemaisa said, are you allowed to do Chalitza Erev Shabbos or not? So again, the svar makes sense, the tircha, but he wants a text proof. He wants a proof from a Gemara somewhere. So he doesn't like it. There's no proof right now. So he said, I'll tell you what the proof is. There's a Yushalmi that the Rush quotes. The Yushalmi says that it's usur to have a din Torah midrabanan and Erev Shabbos, even afilu dini mamas. You shouldn't have court cases. No bezdin on Erev Shabbos. I just looked at the Rush before. It doesn't say the reason why. I couldn't look at the Yushalmi right now. But there's an Isser. The Yushalmi is also to have a din Torah, a mamonis on Erev Shabbos. And then a chalitza as well. The chalitza, there's a certain din we're going to learn, hopefully together, that chalitza can't be performed at nighttime either, because it has to be during the daytime. Bezdin's during the daytime. And krovim or pasul as well. So there's a certain din of bezdin halachas of chalitza like by dinim mamonis. And he says, therefore, just like it's usur to have dinim mamonis in Erev Shabbos, it's usur to have a din Torah of chalitza. It's an isser. It's an isser derbanan of the Yushalmi. Not because of a svara, but there's an isser where the derbanan don't have dine Torah in Erev Shabbos. Now, there could be svaras behind it, but he just took it as a text proof that it's usur to do so. Now, then he says, even though the Smak writes, Bizman Hazeh, we actually can have din Torah Erev Shabbos. It's allowed because it's Bittul Talmud Torah, Shem Milamdan. It's learning a din Torah. A din Torah is Limud Torah. When you're giving a Psak din, two people are coming and fighting, it's a sugya. You're learning a sugya. Now, I have an incredible Shilam involved right now. I'm not a Bucky at all in Choshen Mishpat, a great Shilam though. Someone asked me to deal with a little bit. Where a family had paid tuition to a particular school. It was actually raised on the halacha chat, those who are on it. And the parents want to opt out because now they're on Zoom and their children are not learning as much as they could have. And there's a whole long discussion about the back and forth, what halacha would say. Is it a mekach tos? The parents to get the paid money back? Is it damaging the school? They expected to rely on the money. A fascinating shiloh. So there's a sugya, this is Limud Torah. It's not just like a legal fight. You're learning the sugyas of Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Bas. It's Limud Torah. So Smak says you're allowed to have a din Torah Erev Shabbos. Now I add something else on this as well. Rav Soloveitchik had this beautiful chiluk, he said, between a Bezdin Shel Gimel versus a Bezdin Shel Chav Gimel. A Bezdin of 23 is a capital punishment, it's a court of capital punishment, excuse me, where they could give a Mises Bezdin, Skila, Shreifa, Herig, and Chenek. And Bezdin of 3 is you're judging a case of dinim amos. So what's the chiluk? Rav Soloveitchik had many, many proofs. He pointed out that when it comes to Bezdin Shel Chav Gimel 23, you're judging this person, Reuven, is he deserving of death penalty or not? Did he violate Shabbos or not? It's about him. When it comes to Bezdin Shel Gimel, Reuven and Shimon come to have a fight about who owes who money. The people are taken out of the picture. The three dayanim are sitting. They're busy learning the sugya up. And after they learn the sugya, they say, oh, let's plug it back into Reuven and Shimon. But Reuven and Shimon are not in the stand. They're not ones being judged. They're just learning a sugya. It's a limud Torah that they're learning. So, therefore, the Smak writes, Bizman Hazeh, we allow for a din Torah to take place in Erev Shabbos. Because it's a limud Torah. However, when it comes to chalitza, linin chalitza di isurhi lo mahani haytaim. It's not a case of I skipped a line there. It says v'hainu dafka linin mamon. This only works with a din mamon where bezdin there could be a mechila, it could be hefker bezdin hefker, where they could just undo things. The bezdin has a certain control of the mamon. They can mafkir your property if they want. But le'inyan iser, where they're actually creating something, they're creating a psak, someone else is being affected by that, Bezdin does not have the right to enforce a din by iser. That's what he says. It's an interesting chilek, requires a little bit more understanding to appreciate what's going on here, but the heter to have a din Torah Erev Shabbos only applies to dini mamonis, where it's hefker based on hefker, but not in chalitza, which is a davar iser, the davar erev. Now I want to share with you that these categories of Dina Mamonis and Dina Isser. So we're going to see later on when we get to more of the lachas of when the Bezdin Chalitza could sit Bayom, Balayla, Krovim, and whatnot. There's some indication there might be some Dina Mamonis involved as well with Chalitza. What's a Dina Mamonis involved by Chalitza? Ksuba, right? The Ksuba. We have, it's always important to know what category you're working with. Is it a Dina Mamonis? Is it Dina Isser? So you have a few cases like this. Know any other cases where you see a fusion between Dini Isser and Dini Mamonis? Any examples come to mind? So again, I'm just sharing basic knowledge, interesting Mar Makomos on this. If I were to ask you whether Sota is Dini Isser or Dini Mamonis, what would you tell me? How would you categorize the halachas of a Sota? Dini Isser, right. Dini Isser, she's asked to the husband, they have to do the whole... Homaisa Sota. But there's a very interesting Gemara in Shavuos. This is the end of the fourth parak. Talks about a certain din of Shavua without bringing the context. The Gemara in the parak concludes that shiny Sota is different. The Isura, the Isbe Mamonahu. It's an Isser that has relevance to Mamon as well because the Ksuba, Rashi says the Ksuba is in fact affected. If she knows a Sota, does she get the Ksuba and they get divorced? There's money that's part of the picture here. Another great example, we mentioned Pidyon HaBen yesterday. If I were to ask you if Pidyon HaBen is a Din Isser or Din Mamon, what would you guys say? Mamon, right? Why is it Mamon? Giving 5 silver coins to the coin. Any room to say it's a Din Isser? No. So what does the word Pidyon mean? Redeem. So you redeem the bechor, giving it, take it from the kohen, giving it back to the father. Now we don't really take that pidyon seriously. It's a whole dialogue between the kohen and the father, the Avi Ben. But the pidyon is not really a real pidyon. But there is a cheskuni. I think it's a cheskuni al Torah that says that bechor, before the pidyon, usur for him to do any melacha. He's a davar hekdesh. So there's an approach to build that there's a real pidyon. There's a real redemption taking place from the bechor. There's a din iser. That applies. So, is it an Isser or is it a Mamon? There's a first day, you have to pose the child, and then you give the money. There's 2 elements to it. So listen to this Gemara in Bechor, Zav Mem Tesem Rebez. The Gemara says that when it comes to Isser and Mamon, the Gemara says, Afa, God, I had a machlokas there about Rav and Shmuel regarding a certain din of paying money, and then the money ending didn't last for 30 days, whatever the mice is, but the Gemara says, how do we pass him? In general, there's a Thali HaPsach. When it's a machlokas by Isser, we pass like Rav over Shmuel. When there's a machlokas in Dine Mamonis, we pass like Shmuel, but Din, Shmuel over Rav. So even though that's the general klal, what's the Din by Pidyon HaBen? Hocha Hilchasa Kivasei de Shmuel. Here we pass like Shmuel. Sounds like it's an exception. We only pass like Shmuel by Dine Mamonis. Sounds like even though this is a Din Isser, we're going to pass like Shmuel anyways. It's an exception. And there's a rush, if I remember correctly, he changed the girsa. This is no, we pass like Shmuel because this is a Din Mamonos, it's not a Din Isser. So the 2 ways how to read this Gemara where the Pidyon HaBen is a Din Isser or Din Mamonos. So you have many, many sugyas where you fuse together Mamon and Isser, but how do you categorize it? So Chalitza also, you can raise the question, it's Din Mamonos, Din Isser, clearly Trumas Adeshim, felt that chalitza is a din iser only, it's a davar shebe erva, which is pashup shot, and just pointing out there's another way to approach this, but this heter of having a bezdin erev Shabbos is only true by dine mamonis, but not by dine iser. But I brought the Shemus Adeshim simply because he says, in terms of the Masada Kedushin or the Masada Chalitza, he does not have to be an expert. Eino yodea tiv gittim kedushin does not apply to dine chalitza. So that's the machlokas that we have between the Ritva and Tosfos and all the other Rishonim we saw. And again, it comes down to the Pajib Pshat is a regular hedyot works, like Tosfos, because all you have to do is be present to make it happen. Any three dayanim could be performing Hatas Adarm. And then the Ritva, who says you need to have higher qualifications, something short of being smuchin, and that's either because, like Sammy said, since it's like gittin and kedushin, halachically, fundamentally, you need smuchin, or maybe like I'm suggesting, you have to be able to be mashkiach, you have to be aware of what questions come up, not every time you have a chance to go call the rabbi to ask the shayla. So just to finish off, how do we pass halach l'maisa? Very quickly, the psak is brought down by the Rambam. The Rambam says in Hilchos Yibum, Chalitza Perak Dalet, Chaltza v'rakaka, they do chalitza, they spit, v'karasa, and she recites what she needs to recite. V'hein yoshvin o'mutin al tzidei, and they're sitting or leaning. Oshaya sarachanal kasha al shuko mina kuva lamata. Osha chalta, this is the key line for us. Bifnei shlosha ame haaretz sheinim yodim li karos v'chein asuma shechalatz chalitzasa ksheira. The Rambam writes clearly that if you have ame haaretz who don't know how to read, it actually works b'di'evet. B'di'evet it works. Chachila, you should have ones who are able to read, but b'di'evet it's not ma'akev. What? Right, so we didn't see, they didn't address b'di'evet what would happen. L'chachila, the Rambam is like Tosos, where you have to be able to read. There's another Rambam, I didn't bring this, the ability to read. But b'di'evet, they didn't address it, but the Rambam says b'di'evet is all kosher. You could have any three guys who don't know how to read even. Three illiterate zakenim are good enough. Shulchan Aruch says the same thing at the end of number six here in Siman Kuf Samach Tes, which is where all Hilchas Chalitza is found. It's a long Siman of many, many halachas. V'mchalta, last line, v'mchalta b'fnei am ha'aretz sheinim yodim likaros, it's k'shera b'di'evet. How do they know this? How do they know it's k'shera b'di'evet? Where do we have this indicated? So the Be'er Gra and the Am Shishlama have two different sources, two different reasons, two different proofs, how we know b'di'evet, it's acceptable, even though they were not able to read. What are the two proofs? The Gra says, this Mishnah says, mitzvahs chalitza b'shlosha dayanim v'afil shlosha hadyotas. What's mitzvah mean? So, we spoke out yesterday, mitzvah was a mitzvah chalitza. What the Gra says, mitzvah chalitza means, the mitzvah, the ideal way, the lechatchila way, to perform chalitza, the mitzvah is this way. Mashma, b'di'evet, it would be acceptable. That's a diuk from the Gra, it's a very fair diuk. And the Yamsha Shlomo has another proof why it's acceptable, b'di'evet. It's because, if, let's say there wasn't a kriya at all. Let's say the woman didn't do the kriya. That is not ma'akevis a chalitza. Chalitza could still pass through, even without the chalitza, even without the kriya rather. Kriya is lichachila, but b'di'evet it's acceptable. So if the kriya itself is only b'di'evet, is only lichachila rather, so certainly the qualifications of dayanim, ability to read, is also only lichachila, but b'di'evet it would be acceptable. But he has one caveat, that the dayanim have to have the ability to just speak. They don't have to be illiterate, but they have the ability to speak. So an elam or a cheresh who don't know how to speak, they would be puzzled. No words, no sound can come out of their mouth. Speaking is necessary, but reading is not necessary according to the Am Shul Shlomo. So these are just two proofs, just to wrap up the halacha l'maisa, that again, l'chachila, one should have dayanim. Now, you should, if you, none of us, should, we all know how to read. No one here should be doing a seder chalitza. You know, they're rare, and you're not going to be chosen, and if you get chosen, don't do it. You should know what's going on. So the chachila, we should have, like, the ritva, people who are qualified. The Tosa says, even people who simply know how to read, but b'di'evet, halach l'maisa is it's acceptable, even for someone illiterate, to serve as a dayan. So we'll stop here, and tomorrow we're going to continue with the Gemara and the next Tosfos about Ein Bez and Shakel, just to remind you guys again that we can't have an even dayan, even number of dayanim. You always have to have an odd number. So what exactly is that role of a third dayan? Okay, question here. Okay, shkoyach, everyone have a wonderful day. My pleasure.